You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Let Jesus Make Your Heart Thankful. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Newspaper and television journalists are reporting that one of the longest and most spectacular economic booms in the history of the United States may now be coming to an end. And just as spectacular as this financial boom has been, so equally tragic has been the response by many in the American public. This booming economy created thousands of jobs, produced unparalleled affluence, and resulted in incredible technological advances. How disappointing, then, that instead of thanking God for all these blessings, many today are whining and complaining. Why can't the economic boom, they say, and the stock market rally go on forever? When one hears these words, one cannot help but think of the words of the Bible recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, men will be lovers of self, the Bible says, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, and ungrateful. That's right. The Bible says ungrateful and unthankful. Such people as these, the Bible says, in the last days will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and they will hold not to a true godliness, the Bible says, but only a form of godliness. This means that in the last days there will be people who will claim to be thankful. They may even celebrate lavish Thanksgiving dinners. They may put on big events for family members and neighbors and friends. But in His holy word, God tells us that this type of thanksgiving does not please Him. This man-centered and emotion-centered thanksgiving is not very deep. This type of thankfulness is shallow, insincere, and here today, but gone tomorrow. Now, in stark contrast, a true thankfulness, a God-pleasing thankfulness, is rooted deeply in a heartfelt appreciation for God's greatest gift, which is neither money nor materialism, but the gift of Jesus Christ, and the most blessed gift of assurance of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of life eternal in heaven. Now, if you today sincerely desire to express your thankfulness in a way that pleases not only your friends and relatives, not only your mother and your family, but also in a way that pleases God, and if you want to avoid a pagan Thanksgiving, then listen to this story from the Bible. This moving, memorable, and historic event centers on a woman who was truly thankful, a woman whose thankfulness was gifted to her by God, and whose thankfulness greatly moved the heart of both Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. One day, the Bible says, a Pharisee asked Jesus into his home for a meal, and Jesus accepted. Upon arriving, Jesus took his place at the table. Shortly thereafter, a woman known in the town as a bad woman found out that Jesus was there. So this woman brought an alabaster flask of perfume. This was a very expensive perfume. This lady then stood behind Jesus, and then as she stood there, she was so overcome by this Jesus who had proclaimed forgiveness of sins so openly and so freely in her area that this woman could not contain her joy. Suddenly, her tears fell on Jesus' feet, and then she dried his feet with her hair. And then the Bible explains this lady kissed Jesus' feet and anointed them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus to his home to eat a meal, when he saw this woman, he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who this woman is and what sort of person is touching him. Jesus would have realized, the Pharisee said, this is a bad woman. But then Jesus turned to this Pharisee and said, Simon, there is something I want to say to you. Very well, Master, Simon said, say it. Once upon a time, Jesus said, there were two men. They were both in debt to the same moneylender. One owed the moneylender $50 and the other $5. And since they were both unable to pay, the moneylender generously canceled both of their debts. Now, Jesus asked the Pharisee, which one of these two men do you suppose will love the moneylender more? Well, Simon said, I suppose it would be the one who had the larger debt to forgive, and the one more generously treated. Exactly, replied Jesus. And then turning to the woman, he said to the Pharisee, do you see this woman? I came into your house, but you provided no water to wash my feet. However, this lady has washed my feet with her tears, and she has dried them with her hair. Jesus, the Bible explains, continued to speak to Simon, saying, there was no warmth in your greeting, but this woman, she from the very moment I arrived, she has not stopped covering my feet with kisses. You gave me no oil for my head, but this woman has put perfume on my feet. And that is why I tell you, Simon, that her sins, as many as they are, her sins are forgiven. Because, you see, she has shown me so much love. But the man who has little to be forgiven has only a little love to give. Then he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Then the Bible explains the men with Jesus at the table began to say to themselves, and who is this man who even forgives sins? But Jesus said to the woman, it is your faith that has saved you. Go in peace. Now, this woman, a known public sinner, truly impacted the heart of God. Her deed was so simple, her sincerity was so transparent, and her gift was so gracious, and her act of love was such a response to God's gift of forgiveness that she knew only Christ could and only Christ would graciously forgive her. And so as you prepare for a meaningful and memorable Thanksgiving, don't simply count your blessings one by one, as important as this might be. But instead, with God-given sincerity, first number yourself with this no-good lady in the Bible. Now perhaps you are not known in your community as an outcast or a terrible sinner. However, if you are honest, you will certainly confess with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 that the good that you would often like to do, you don't do. And those things in life that you shouldn't do, quite often you end up doing. Like the Apostle Paul, then, you and I must confess. Yes, we must confess to our Heavenly Father, oh, wretched person that I am. And praise God, it is only when we can openly and honestly and sincerely confess the sin and the struggles that go on daily deep inside of us, only then will we be able to see Jesus the way this bad lady did. She did not see Jesus as a nice religious person, and she did not see Jesus as a community counselor, as important as that might have been. This lady did not see Jesus simply as someone who would identify with her because misery loves company. No. This woman saw in Jesus the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the no strings attached forgiveness of God. And so then, my friend, let your eyes and your ears of faith see and hear the same thing in these days of Thanksgiving as you read and hear the good news of God's gospel. There is, the Bible says, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, no matter who you are or what you have done. If you, by faith, are covered by the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus, God will not condemn you for your failures. Who, the Bible asks, will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. In Him, in Jesus Christ, St. Paul writes, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. And so today, as we think of this bad lady who with her eyes of faith saw the Christ of compassion clearly, let us then also, with the benefit of hindsight, see the crucifixion and the saving cross of Christ even more clearly. Nearly 200 years ago, John Bowring wrote a powerful hymn as he stood near an old, crumbling Portuguese church. This church was built some 300 years earlier, and due to wind and sun and rain, it was crumbling into ruin. Only the spire was standing tall, and on top of this spire was an old bronze cross which reflected the beautiful rays of the setting sun. Inspired by this rugged cross high in the sky and the memories of the first rugged cross in which Jesus died, John Bowring wrote, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming light and love upon my way, from the cross a radiance streaming adds more luster to the day." John Bowring wrote this powerful and moving hymn because when he saw the cross of Christ, he was reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul penned in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. "But may it never be," the Apostle said, "may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Oh, my friend, turn your eyes to the crucifixion cross. Each time you see the cross, may the Spirit of God move deeply in your heart and remind you that it was your sins that nailed Jesus Christ to this tool of torture. And it was also the death of Christ that paid the penalty for all of your mistakes in life, and it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that now enables you to stand before God justified with a clear conscience and with the same joy that the bad lady had when she stood behind Jesus crying with thanksgiving. It was with this deep, indescribable joy that she expressed the true spirit of thanksgiving by wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. And so then, if and when the time comes for you and your family to celebrate a great meal of thanksgiving, it would be most appropriate if you could turn to this beautiful story recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, what a blessed spiritual power this Bible reading can be in your home. What a refocusing would take place for you and other members of your family. And then, possessing the solid foundation of the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, as portrayed in the actions of this bad lady, you can then build brick by brick upon this foundation of forgiveness. And you can then also build by counting your blessings one by one and rejoicing in all that God has done. And then as you seek to thank God in word and song, you can say with joy and gusto the words of the great reformer Martin Luther, that you sincerely believe and you are truly thankful that God has made you and all creatures, that He has given you your body and soul, eyes and ears and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and that He still preserves them, that God provides you with good transportation, modern medical technology to keep you healthy, and educational opportunities to exercise your talents. This is the same gracious God who has given you your clothing and your shoes, your meat and your drink, your house and your home, your wife and your children, and all your goods. And this is also the God who richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support this body and life. And indeed, it is this same gracious God who defends you against all danger, guards and protects you from all evil. And all of this, my friend, yes, all of this, He does purely out of His fatherly divine goodness, without any merit or worthiness on your part. As a result, for all the blessings that you and I graciously receive from our Heavenly Father, it is our duty, yes, it is our blessed privilege, to give special thanksgiving and praise to Him, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Oh, my friend, I pray for you today a special thanksgiving and an endless joy, all based and solidly built upon the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.